What do you get when you combine a solar power company with an electric car company? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Elon Musk, the founder of Tesla, wants to take a blowtorch and weld onto his electric cars a solar panel company he also helped start. SolarCity is run by Musk's cousin. In early trading today, SolarCity's stock was up more than 8%, but Tesla Motors stock was down more than 7%. To help us understand the strategy here, let's turn to Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, David.
Why do you suppose Elon Musk is trying forging these two companies together that were separate?
He says he's creating an integrated, sustainable energy company. People are a little skeptical of that. I mean, if Ford merged with Exxon, would we have an integrated, unsustainable energy company? Nobody's really sure why he's doing it, although he refers to it as a no-brainer.
Yeah, whenever anyone says no-brainer. Now, this could backfire. I mean, how might investors take a look at this?
Investors could see this very negatively. You have two companies that are bleeding cash, in part because they're going through big capital expansion. Jamming these two things together might actually not decrease the risk, as Musk thinks. It might increase the risk that neither company succeeds. It will be interesting when Musk goes back into the capital market to raise more cash, because if you're bleeding cash, you have to go back, you know, about once a year. It'll be interesting to see what happens the next time he goes back. In fact, he hasn't been all that successful the last time he went back. He ended up buying a lot of the debt for SolarCity himself. So this could actually end up taking some of the shine off Musk, and especially the Tesla side. The stock in Tesla has been up 500% in the last 3 years, despite the fact that the company is not making money and probably won't make money for years. It'll be interesting to see if this puts an end to the halo around Tesla.
I suppose the other way to see it is diversification, right? A company that doesn't have all its eggs in, for instance, the electric car basket.
Yeah, that's the claim, that diversification decreases risk. I'm not sure how many people will buy that story when you have two companies that each of them is very risky and each of them is not in sight of making a profit.
Eric Gordon at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
In about a month, markets will be obsessed by the U.S. political conventions. Today, however, it is British politics. In just really a matter of hours now, the polls will open for U.K. subjects to vote on staying in the EU or going. Financial players are watching the odds posted by British bookmakers, which early Wednesday suggested the British will vote to stay in, but you never know, and market participants are doing some calculations. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
Well, people are preparing for it because we need to be ready, and you're seeing a lot of liquidity being made available to the market. Should Britain decide to leave the EU, I think a lot of people are going to be very wary about the pound, so they're going to want to sell the pound and move to safer currencies. So you're going to see some demand for the yen and the US dollar as part of that, and probably even the euro as they switch out.
All right, so we'll be tracking that tomorrow and certainly with the results in on Friday. Now, the US economy, that's where we live, many of us. What is this indicator you track that helps us understand commercial real estate?
The ABI, which is the Architectural Billings Index, it gives you a sense of what's going on in non-residential construction. So it has nothing to do with housing, which is what we normally focus on. This talks about actual commercial construction, what's on the project planning boards. If it's north of 50, it's viewed as positive. Last month, it came in just a little over 50, and today it reported again, and it's at 53. So that's a good sign that there is underlying support here. And so that's an indicator that's good to look at, because sometimes the consumer is slow to react, but businesses are leading the way, and we've been seeing that in this recovery.
All right, Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's going to be a new fully-fledged stock exchange. After some nail-biting suspense and intense opposition from existing stock exchanges, the Securities and Exchange Commission Friday night gave the go-ahead to IEX. This new stock exchange is designed to mute the effect of rapid-fire traders. Celebrating the long-fought regulatory approval is CEO Brad Katsuyama, who is the protagonist of the best-selling Michael Lewis book about high-frequency traders, Flash Boys. We've checked in with him from time to time on this project. Mr. Katsuyama, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
What's the problem that the IEX exchange is trying to solve, Brad?
The heart of the problem is that the stock exchanges, which used to kind of be viewed as these utilities that just matched buyers and sellers, and as technology morphed the exchanges and evolved the exchanges, what they started to do is they started to sell high-speed data and high-speed technology that allowed certain participants to find out about trades before others and to react to those trades before other groups even knew that the trades existed. And it created a class system in the market, and with speed being the biggest differentiator.
So your technology would slow down some of these high-speed traders, would get rid of a lot of their advantage. It's what, a speed bump in a sense?
So yeah, it's funny it's called a speed bump because it measures 350 millionths of a second, 1/1,000th the speed of you blinking your eye. So it's not perceptible to any human. It's not a time scale that any normal investor would even care about. But it's a critical amount of time for certain traders who are looking to pick up signals and race ahead of existing orders. So the whole debate really revolved around 350 millionths of a second and who that matters to and who it doesn't.
So briefly, next steps for IEX now that the regulators have said yes.
Long-term liquidity is missing in the markets, which actually creates a lot of volatility. High-speed data, high-speed technology, these are all things that the exchanges are selling. It creates short-term incentives. But when the market's volatile, you can't pay someone enough to stand in front of a volatile market. And when they pull out, the long-term investors have migrated to off-exchange platforms like dark pools, et cetera. Nobody's left. And what we're trying to do with IEX is bring long-term investors back into the public markets to create a more robust market. You know, it's funny. The opposition was spreading all sorts of misinformation about, oh, IEX is going to harm market quality.
They're arguing that you're slowing things down a little tiny bit, and slower somehow is
somehow
worse.
Yes, yeah. So in this case, slower in many ways allows for people to feel safer and provides protection. And I think that that's the way to get long-term liquidity back into the market. Don't use them as prey. Protect them.
All right. Brad Katsuyama, CEO and co-founder of the new stock exchange, IEX. Brad, thank you.
Thanks very much.
And did you know you can get three of those truck-sized cargo containers, fill them full of stuff, and send them on a ship from the U.S. to Europe for less than the cost of a single new Galaxy 7 or a single iPhone 6? There is a glut in cargo space globally as the new expanded Panama Canal opens this weekend. All of our coverage is accumulating at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.